quarter to 6 in the morning, and that means it's time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Our friend Jason Kahn's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
You were telling me you were enjoying those cooler fall temps yesterday.
Man, it was so nice out yesterday. Although I have to say I was at work in the afternoon around 2 o'clock, and I walked into my assistant's office, and I said, I just want to take a nap. I said, she said, I feel the same way. And so I don't know if the cooler temperatures invite curling up and taking a nap. I didn't rest, but I would have liked to have taken one.
You know, we've had Avenue Orchard. They've got like their 15-year anniversary this weekend. And so I'm sure we'll continue to tell people about that today. But they've been talking about their apple cider, which you can get. And they were there at our event. You know, all of a sudden now with the weather change like that, now all of a sudden I'm like, I did have some apple. Now that I think of it, a coworker, my boss at my other job, Chris Solberg, brought in some apple crisp the other day, which I had my share of. But, you know, like this is now all of a sudden you go, oh, yeah, give me some apple cider. How about that, huh?
Yeah, boy, you know, the smell in the air. We used to go to the apple orchard every year as a family and haven't done it now for the last couple of years, but it's certainly a great fall tradition to do that. And yeah, I think the feel in the air and the smell and the environment and all of it, boy, it makes one think October is coming. I mean, so it's, you know, good stuff.
Hey, real quick on this, I'll say more about it, but went to the preview showing of Identity Crisis last night, our friend Andrew Polnasek's new movie, her sixth faith-based film. And again, she says targeting 8 to 14-year-old girls. But it deals with kind of identity. They've got these twin sisters who were they won out on a national casting. But I would say you'll hear the word wholeness arise in this movie, and certainly you're a champion for that. And so it's not just for 18 to 14 year old girls, but for everybody, because we all kind of wrestle with kind of that coming together, right? So
absolutely, I wrestle with that several times a week, if not daily. So. Yeah. That's a good topic for them to take up. I'm glad to hear they're doing that.
It'll be, and she's got a novel and a study that goes with it, all sorts of things. So we'll get some audio from her this morning and talk to her live a little bit tomorrow morning. As well as it's MyCon Cinema this next week, starting tomorrow in Chippewa Falls. All right, Love Letter 44 and Larry Crabb's great book 66 Love Letters is... Acts tell the people the full message of this new life. Before I read what he says about Acts in the epilogue, which is the Bible in 66 paragraphs, the story everyone needs to hear, I'm just curious, and I'm going to start asking these questions like, what was it like for you to write Acts in Letters to the Beloved?
Yeah, I don't know if I think Acts was the last book I did. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, when I avoided it for a long time because I thought, what am I going to do with Acts when I get to this point? And I loved working through Acts because a lot of what I would do, I would sit with maps to really try and look at, well, where the heck was Paul going, you know, and, you know, how far was this for him to walk and why would he go to this place? And so really trying to enter into the story. And it was it became a fulfilling process.
So you didn't just read the words. I mean, you kind of really got into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really wanted to, I mean, I think that's a part of what we do in reading scripture is really try to immerse ourselves in the story and find out what's going on. So I really liked doing Acts a lot.
Here's how he unpacks those 28 chapters, imagining what would the Lord say if he boiled it down to a paragraph on this book. Meet with other followers of my son to better learn the full message of this new life and to tell it to the world. Depend on your new power to suffer on behalf of your new mission as you develop into a new kind of community with a new and living hope. The party is underway. Start dancing. Boy, we hear the word new a lot in there.
I was going to say that word new certainly comes up in there a lot. I think Larry would have certainly talked a lot about the idea of being a new creation and living in that newness of life.
Absolutely. All right. We close it out with the Gospel of Mark here. It is 1:6-8 today.
Yep. It says, his clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
And John, of course, John the Baptist, and here's how Jason tackles it in Letters to the Beloved. John was a wild man who wore a camel hair coat cinched with a leather belt and ate locusts and honey. He preached with a tongue of fire, yet he was never arrogant. I love that combination in my servants. He told the crowds, a man is coming who is so much greater than me, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. I have given you a visible symbol that God forgives your sins, but he will come to you in the power of God's Spirit.
Yeah, I think what stands out for me in there is the idea of the tongue of fire in combination with humility. And I think that's a hard balance, right? I mean, I think it's, you know, we can come with heavy or powerful words and do so with arrogance, or we can be not willing to speak out and be humble. And I think there's this balance of speaking with power, but it's the power of the Spirit.
I actually read and highlighted this earlier. I love the thought of God saying, I love that combination in my servants. So anyhow, I thought that was cool. Thank you, Jason.
You bet.
Our promise of the day, Isaiah 61:7. I will give you a double portion of your inheritance in exchange for your shame. I will give you a double portion of your inheritance in exchange for your shame. You want to talk about what seems like a bad trade, right? God takes our shame. We get not just an inheritance, a double inheritance.
Well, there are a lot of health benefits to a lot of different foods. You hear about superfoods, antioxidants, things like that. Well, here's a beverage that you might want to consume more of, and it's a fairly familiar one, tea.
That's right. Drink tea. Drink lots of it. I just had some peach tea the other day, multiple, and it was just something about it that even feels medicinal.
Yes, a dozen or so studies recently looked at the health benefits from tea, and they range from fighting fat to fighting cancer. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, researchers in Boston found people who drink, now, 5 to 6 cups of black tea each day.
That's a lot.
This seems like it's a commitment. Seem to get a boost in that part of the immune system that acts as a first line of defense against infection.
A second study found that mice who had been genetically engineered to develop prostate cancer, I didn't know that you could genetically engineer that, and who drank the equivalent of about 6 cups of tea a day did not end up developing tumors.
Boy, I even think when I'm having a couple of cups, I'm like, wow, you're really having a lot of tea, like 5 or 6.
So basically a lot of tea.
Yeah. Another study found that a green tea extract reduced body fat in mice and that drinking green tea may mitigate DNA damage from smokers that could lead to mouth cancer.
Finally, researchers also found that drinking tea improved the function of blood vessels and platelets and may therefore reduce the risk of heart attack and stroke. So they're saying, hey, drink tea, but not in small amounts.
Yeah, right. A good amount. So, yeah, I'll take the benefits just even for the voice that I experienced the other day from having some tea and just having just a slightly scratchy throat or something like that.
I mean, I enjoy it infrequently, but this seems like I really need to up my dosage.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, which one are you? Coffee, tea, or which is it?
If you stop drinking coffee in the morning and you change over to green tea, you will lose about 92% of any joy left in your life.
WWIP. Well, she was our guest last week on the show. Andrea Polnasek of Chippewa Falls, and Caleb, she and her sister, Alexandra Boylan. Alexandra lives more in Hollywood and works in that regard, but they've teamed up on a variety of fronts. This is their 6th movie together, writing, producing. Alexandra actually appears in this film as well, briefly, and had a chance to see it last night. A good crowd for kind of the preview showing.
Good.
And thumbs up on it for sure. And you say, again, it's people can check out the trailer as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, we have that posted from last week on our WWIB Radio Facebook page or in the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook group. You can Google Identity Crisis Movie as well to find this, or go to theboylansisters.com. Again, the two sisters collaborating on this. And Andrea told us it was about a 2-year process, I think, too, from again, originally writing the script and then getting it filmed. And really cool as well, too, that they've got twin sisters, so sisters writing and producing this movie, but also twin sisters playing the stars, because Identity Crisis, if folks haven't heard about this before, it's about a young lady who's a shy science whiz. She's a college student, but struggles really with her confidence and thinking, hey, I'm not good enough. The way I am is not good enough. And so she figures out how to clone herself in order to make up for all what she perceives as deficiencies in herself. And again, the lesson learned. in this movie.
That is very well described. You almost sound like you're the one who's had the preview last night. That's very well described. You know, Francis Collins, who's headed up the NIH, I don't know if he's quite retired yet, but he's a brother in the Lord, and he's written a number of books, including The Language of God, which you see in this movie. I had a chance to talk to Andrea after the showing last night.
So writer, producer, author, Andrea Polnasek. So we just got done with this early showing of Identity Crisis. So how did it feel?
It felt wonderful. I was nervous, but it was really fun to have a crowd watching it, and it's been amazing reception at the end. People really enjoyed it.
You and your sister writing this, so who did you have in mind?
So we are targeting 8 to 14-year-old girls. We want 8 to 14-year-olds to love it and their parents to give a thumbs up and feel comfortable with the content. That's our goal.
In fact, you've been telling people
to come back to MyCon Friday the 8th, and it will be here. It will be showing all week, and we want to sell it out so that we get a second week.
And you also, though, have been telling people about the Barbie movie. Give me that line.
Yeah, well, for all the kids that weren't allowed to go to Barbie because it was PG-13, Identity Crisis is for you. Come on down with your friends, 8 to 14 years old. Bring your moms along with you, and you'll have a great time.
Yeah. And then, in addition to the movie, I mean, you've got some other resources.
Yes, we have downloadable content on theboylansisters.com, as well as a devotional, a Bible study, and a novel that we're really excited about, which you can find at its Identity Crisis novel on Amazon.
So, again, the big thing is, I mean, do you have any idea, like, how many showings Friday and this weekend? It's MyCon Chippewa specifically.
Yes, it is booked at Chippewa for matinees and evening shows. It starts Friday, and it will go through Thursday of the next week.
And Caleb, we've seen this with various faith-based films in the past. I mean, I can think back to the Kirk Cameron in terms of, Fireproof, or more recently, the Bart Millard Mercy Me movie was a big hit. And if faith-based movies, if they can catch some momentum, if people can support these, it can go. And I'm just going to say that while she talked about targeting 8 to 14-year-old girls, I think everybody, I mean, I'm knocking on the door of 60. You can be struggling with your identity. You can, and this idea of integration and wholeness in terms of your personhood is dealt with here. So they may target the young girls, and rightly so, but I'll tell you what, this is really a film for everybody.
Yeah, and so again, when she mentions mom specifically taking your daughters, but again, moms and dads, take the whole family. I really think this could spark some great conversations on the way home as well, too. So a chance to support our local theater in MyCon, our local screenwriter and Andrea Polnasek. And again, of course, she and her sister, Alexandra, great to support a family enterprise like this as well, too. And again, I love the blockbuster movies, the big time movies, but I think there's something important about us saying we want to support faith-based films and show that, hey, there's an audience that wants this kind of content on the big screen.
Tell you what, if there's scripture that gets focused on Psalm 139, right? Each and every one of us fearfully and wonderfully made. Reminded me of this song from Stephen Curtis Chapman. The fingerprints of God are all over every one of us. Well, the classic running movie, Chariots of Fire, and I guess our story is the exact opposite.
Yeah, that music makes you want to get out and huff and puff a little bit, too. Feel like, hey, I could run a mile. Maybe not 26.2 like in a marathon, and apparently that's what 11,000 people thought in the Mexico City Marathon as well. They're like, you know what? I don't know that I'm up for this race today. I'm going to cheat.
Wow. This is something else. This 11,000 represents over one-third of the participants.
11,000 runners have been disqualified from this year's Mexico City Marathon. Again, a third of the participants. So you're talking 33,000-plus people. This is massive.
Did, like, one or two people have the idea? And this many people, if you're friend shortcutted a marathon, would you? And apparently,
runners,
yes.
Were disqualified from missing checkpoints placed every 5 kilometers. Now, I want to hope that a lot of them just somehow ran the wrong direction, kind of this herd mentality,
yeah,
group think, where it's just like, oh, this must be the way to go. Let's follow everyone else. I hope it was a grievous error and not what else they're saying here.
Yes, but
There were some.
But there were some alleged to have used vehicles or public transport to cheat.
Do you really think you're going to get away with that as you're wearing your little shorts and your racing bib and you're climbing onto the city bus? It's like, hey, can you just take me up a couple kilometers
here? Do you possibly say, I didn't know I couldn't use a car in the marathon?
Yeah, just, I mean, and this draws in doubt to all of you who have the 26.2 sticker you so proudly put on the back of your vehicle. Did you drive it? Did you walk it? Did you run it? Now we need more details.
Oh, my. I'll tell you what. This is not the first time the Mexico City Marathon has faced issues with cheating, as nearly 6,000 runners were disqualified 6 years ago.
What in the world? What?
And this called to mind a story for me when you told me this off the air. I'm like, Rosie Ruiz. And I remembered. I did not remember the year. Wow. Takes me back to high school. 1980, Rosie Ruiz is how she was known. Was declared the winner in the female category for the 84th Boston Marathon 1980, only to have her title stripped 8 days after the race when it was discovered she hadn't run the entire course.
Oh, be sure your sin will find you out.
Wow.
Is this sticker worth it? I mean, there's always that old joke, right? How do you know if someone's run a marathon?
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Okay.
But truly, this is, I mean, yeah. Marathons, the first person who ran a marathon died. All right, so
yeah.
Now, for some people like me, that'd be like, okay, beware. But it is a magnificent feat. It is incredible. So don't want to take anything away. And this does try to take away from the people who've actually done the work and the training to do it. So don't cheat, kids. That's probably the underlying message here. And congratulations to all of you who run the Eau Claire Marathon or any other marathon without getting on a bus.
Proving yet again. Proud of you. This morning, you do morning radio and you never know. You'd think you've heard it all, and then you hear 11,000 people get disqualified. Well, Caleb, it was 52 years ago today that this particular television show enjoyed its last episode.
Listen to a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed.
Loved this show.
And then one day he was shooting at
9-year run.
Up through the ground come a bumbling crew.
Started in 1962. Yeah, boy, Jethro and Granny and
Texas Tea.
What a concept, right?
It's just, fantastic.
Folks said, Jed, move away from
Granny's probably the best. Character.
Irene Ryan. Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, a lot of fun. 9-year run, though. And
I need to dig that up and watch that with my kids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the further out we get, more and more people, I'm sure, are like, what? Beverly Hillbillies? Never heard of it. So. Well, it's a big day for football fans. The NFL season kicking off tonight, Caleb.
And it's a big day as well for fans of the WIB Wake Up Show as Drew Fralick, live from Detroit, joins us with about the most epic musical introduction you can have.
There we go. Drew, good morning.
Oh, my goodness. This is like way more high pressure than 7:45 on Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm feeling the pressure, the music, two hosts. Okay, here we go. I'm ready.
We finally elevated you in the big time because I left my cell phone at home and wasn't able to get you on earlier this morning. But, okay, how is Detroit handling this? I mean, the NFL deemed you good enough to play the opening game of the season. This is on prime time, all the eyes tonight.
This game is very much like the 9:45 slot on Quick Wake Up on Thursday. I think there's basically two camps that Detroiters have fallen into. There's, I'll call the first camp, the Kool-Aid camp. They're like all in. They're crazy. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. They think we're going to like kill the Chiefs tonight. They're, you know, buying their Super Bowl hats and t-shirts. And that's one camp. The other camp is, I guess people like me, you know, we're fragile. We've been burned. We've been in this bad relationship for 7 decades, and it's like a girlfriend you just can't dump, you know? That's what the Lions are. You're like, I'm done with you, and then September rolls around, and you're like, well, maybe we could go on one more date, you know what I mean? So it's, I don't know. There's no middle ground, I'll tell you that. There's no medium, no happy medium.
Drew, has there been any improving just of the collective psyche of Detroit where you can say, you know what, at least we're better than Cleveland? Because it seems like in terms of abject, dismal football towns, Cleveland and Detroit have been through the ringer for a long time.
We've been battling it out. Yeah, we've been battling it out. I think we're better than Cleveland, right? Is that You guys are Packers fans. You can gauge success. We're better than Cleveland.
I think when you have a high draft pick year after year, it does pile up a little bit. But, okay, Dan Campbell, it started with the knee biting. But, I mean, this guy is, leading a team that is on the rise. And, I mean, he certainly speaks from his heart.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, we haven't seen this many kneecaps since Tonya Harding, so I'm excited about that.
Right.
This guy, if it doesn't work out for him in the NFL, he can definitely go work for pro wrestling, so that's going to be good. I don't know. He pumps you up, so he does give you hope.
Yeah.
But I've been burned too many times. I'm fragile. I don't know. That's my mindset. I'm scared.
All right. Will you be watching tonight at 7:20? And will most of Detroit?
I don't know, Mark. I don't know if I can handle it. Do you think I should?
I think you got to.
Okay.
It's your team. Right. It's your city. I mean, you're on prime time. When does that happen for Detroit?
If for nothing else, then it'll give us something to talk about on Monday.
Sounds good.
As you play the sad music.
And we'll see how the Packers are faring without Aaron Rodgers. Thanks, Drew.
There you go.
Thanks, Drew.
All right, take care.
All right, checking in from Detroit. Their mindset tonight, kind of like, I don't know.
This is something, too. Again, it's an honor to be in the season opening game for the NFL. And, of course, the Super Bowl winner from last year, the Chiefs, get that. But sometimes they'll do a Super Bowl rematch or maybe they'll even pick a big-time opponent in the same conference. This time, they're showing a lot of respect, I think, to Detroit. So, here's the thing. In our division for the Packers, cannot stand the Vikings, don't care for the Bears. But I've always felt a little sorry for Detroit. This is the time, this is the year for them to step up and say, you know what, Caleb, we're worthy of your hatred. We're going to beat the Packers, so who knows?
We'll see what happens tonight as the NFL kicks off, and then the Packers Sunday, 3:25.